Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend fans. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV After Show. Today, we're going to talk all about Rebecca actually having to acknowledge and meet her biological child. And we're going to have Paula's game night, but also it's a graduation party. And there's a lot of people that just don't seem to like each other. We're going to talk all about it right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
This was a brilliant song.
This is so appropriate too, being that we're so close to the Super Bowl.
Right.
It was smart.
Game on right now.
Brilliant. This is the kind of songs that I was accustomed to from the show, and we haven't been getting lately.
Yeah.
This was a great song.
Yeah, I liked this one a lot. We'll get into our song discussion later on the show. We're going to also get into our crazy meter for Rebecca and our predictions for next week. But first, welcome to the show and thank you for joining us. I am your host, Brianna Phipps. I am joined alongside by my fearless crew.
Fearless.
I love it. I'm going to say it.
What's going on, guys? It's your boy, Nino. And I'm excited to talk about this episode, which I wasn't that happy to watch.
On the other hand, I'm Taron, and I love this episode just because I'm not Nino.
Well, let's get into that, guys. So, Nina, why was this an episode that you weren't that great to watch?
You know,
or happy to watch?
I think the only thing that I really liked about it was obviously the Greg and Rebecca story, which we've been waiting for so long. If you've been watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend since season one, to see what was going to happen next in their love story. But I was also really disappointed that they gave Paula that celebration for her graduation, and she's been working so hard at this, and it just ended up in that type of episode. I don't know. It just wasn't enough for me. I feel like Paula deserves more.
Okay.
And I disagree.
Taron, what do you think of that?
I disagree because I like the episode for all the reasons that Nino, the hater, hates the episode. I like the whole Rebecca storyline, the love storyline coming back. I like the fact that Nathaniel, like, at the end, eavesdropped and heard, and you saw a little bit of heartbreak. Also, you had the foreshadow of competitive spirit, so now you know he's going to run amok and go awry and do the things that Nathaniel's the best at. We also had that setup with Rebecca and Rebecca. Meet Rebecca! And I was very happy about that because that's always been a loose storyline, and they brought that back and explained a lot of things in a fun, fascinating, and yet realistic way of the interaction. Then the game night, as a person who graduated law school, I can understand how these graduation parties can be troublesome and they're not what you want. So you do things that you want. And here, Paula just wanted to go grocery shopping for her birthday and have a little law school game night for her graduation party. Good for her, living on her terms. And it comes to play. And you get to see the husband-wife dynamic duo. And he gets a little alpha when he's like, I always listen to you. Almost always listen to you. But this time, you're going to listen to me. And she's like, ooh.
I liked the episode. I thought that it gave us a lot of plot hole, it filled them in for us,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of progressed us a little bit more down the storyline since we're getting to the end. I'm happy
exactly.
We're moving forward now mm-hmm. that we're actually, Paula is graduated. Like, how long has she been in law school?
17
I don't
years.
Know. It felt like forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great. Two against one. We're against Nino.
I mean, pulled on my heartstrings. Yes, I love that part.
It's okay. While Everything we discuss else? It, it mm. might change your mind. You never
Maybe.
Know.
Thank you, Bree.
We'll see.
You never know.
Such positive energy.
And if you guys are chatting along with us, Nino, you're in the chat, correct?
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
So he'll throw your comment out to us, and you can also give your way in if you thought this was a good episode, maybe not so much. But let's start off with Paula's party.
Mm-hmm.
So in the very beginning, Paula is having a game night. It's just a game night. It's not a party. She says it multiple times. We get to the game night. Rebecca can't go. And everybody, it seems like we get two pairings that people really love and two pairings that are not so happy with it, being Valencia and Hector
right.
and Nathaniel and Josh. So let's start with Nathaniel and Josh. They just, I mean, obvious reasons they seem not to like each other, but they find out they're kind of alike.
Sports analogies brings all people together, man.
What do you guys think of their kind of development of friendship?
It's good to see. I mean, I was going to see how much more interaction they were going to have in general, since they really don't talk much throughout the season, obviously for obvious reasons or whatnot. But the song that comes on, I'm sure we're going to talk about it. Great song. I can agree on that, definitely. But I'm excited to see what's going to happen after this. Like, because Greg and Rebecca are now together, mm-hmm. like, or, you know, or whatnot, talking or in love again, what's going to happen with his dynamic and relationship with Josh now?
Well, that's the thing. That. I mean, I'm going to throw this in predictions, but Nathaniel might use Josh to get into that whole circle, like, oh, we're friends now, and now he's in the mix because he's over a lot more than he should mm-hmm. be. But more importantly, I felt that their connection shows that, A, two people who are very different, but they're on the opposite ends of the spectrum mm-hmm. can come together and find common ground. And we see that in the biggest way at the end of the episode, where it was one of my favorite parts is Josh trying to take the selfie, and it turns into a whole photo shoot, and it turns into the camaraderie and this whole teamwork and everyone getting together. And it makes even Paula happy. And that's what I like. Finding that Josh and Nathaniel have more in common makes me realize I can be friends with some of you too.
No, I agree with you. I like that they showed that no matter how different you think you may be, that there are always common things that we share. And for them, it's their father's not being loving them. Mm-hmm. And this sports and using sports to try to be able to be around their dads and have something to talk about with them. So I liked that they brought that in as well. We'll get into the selfie in a second, but I loved that part as well. The one thing I wanted to be brought up that they didn't bring up, though, was the fact that Nathaniel tried to kill Josh's dad, grandfather.
Oh, that's right.
I wanted
right.
Josh to bring it up.
But who hasn't? You know? Josh's grandfather
is just, Wow, how did I forget about that? He totally put a hit out on him.
Yeah.
Because Rebecca was allegedly trying.
Not allegedly.
Not allegedly.
Can we start using words they're lawyers? Allegedly.
Definitely not allegedly.
Okay. Was he convicted?
But Josh knew about it. He allegedly. Admitted it to Josh. Josh, I think, punched him in the face over it.
Sounds like hearsay.
You can't say allegedly when somebody's admitted to it.
Yes, you can. People have admitted to crimes that they haven't committed all the time.
Well, in this case, Nathan has never used the word allegedly, so we're not going to use it. But
on his behalf, I feel like I must defend Nathan.
Two other people at the party who also came together and mm-hmm. found out after a much, much longer feud was Hector and Valencia.
Right.
I was expecting something more, by the way. I was expecting it more than a simple rivalry of niceness, which, by the way, I can understand where Valencia is coming from, because I also personally don't just like people who are just nice to everyone. Mm-hmm. I think then what makes me special, if you're nice to everyone in general, then you're just not nice to anyone.
But I liked the reason for it. I liked the reason being that
there was
always wanted to be liked and everyone liked him better. But also that's just because you were kind of a bitch, Valencia.
100%.
I love Valencia.
I'm not saying we don't love Valencia. I'm saying there's reasons as to why people chose Hector maybe over you.
Heather's my main and Valencia's my side chick. And I love
her. Well, we know that in this episode, because they are playing kind of a law charades game sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Not charades, I guess. I don't know what.
Yeah.
Is it charades when you
law, trial, celebrity, say charades?
Celebrity.
No, charades is
charades.
When
you
it's more like celebrity.
Yeah. It's the. What's the one where you can talk?
There's celebrity. Another
one. I've never played that game.
Celebrity, there's three different stages usually, I think, where like one you can say like a sentence, one you can say a word. So it's kind of, I don't know. It was kind of its own invention. Paul invented the game.
Celebrity trial guessing game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Hector is just so scared to like say anything because he's just throwing everything down.
Pass.
But right before then, because we don't know why he's so scared, but right before then, we get Valencia saying something to him in Spanish, and Heather is kind of like, I know two of these words, and one is kill and one is river.
They could be going fishing, right. Allegedly.
They didn't tell us what it said. Like, we didn't have a little thing on the bottom, so we were also not in the know of what was happening.
Yeah.
But our engineer in the booth, Josh, Josh, our producer, he is our Latin correspondent today, and he's going to let us all know what was said to Hector to make him so nervous.
Hey guys, Josh at the booth here. So essentially what she said was, I'm going to kill you. No, don't ruin this for me. I will kill you and dump your body in the river.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right to me. Allegedly.
Classic Valencia.
My favorite part with them was when he said she does the eyebrow thing, like, I'm going to kill you. And she's like, yet you're still here. Yet you're still alive.
But did you die?
I mean, fair. He didn't die. She just kills him with her eyes, but not physically kills
Valencia him. Valencia season one feels
coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Nina, what did you think of the reasoning or their kind of, like, being able to come to common ground?
It was cool that it was, like, a deeper thing, I guess, or whatnot. But I think I'm on the same side as you right now.
Don't and be
I
wanted my friend more. Now.
I wanted more, Taryn. I wanted more. So I was expecting more, but still cool that they kind of worked it out. And she's still scared. I mean, he's still scared of her nonetheless. She's an intimidating person when she wants to be. But you know she could be a sweetheart afterwards, too.
I mean, we're seeing more Sweetheart Valencia as we go on. I think
that's
she's working through her issues,
right.
And she's starting to get past. We're realizing why she's so mean,
right? And season, like I said, season one vibes because she was a total bitch during season one, the whole time. Remember,
ironically,
she was
not to Hector as much,
right? That storyline didn't really come up until
like last season, or something.
Kind of just was in and out of the situation or whatnot. But when she was here, remember, I told her to her face when she came into the studio. I said, "It's really hard not to hate you while you're here, but you're so sweet."
And then the other two people at the party, obviously, are Scott and, or the other two teams are Scott and Paula, who, winners, fly by.
I mean, he must have been studying with her.
I mean,
everything.
Also,
he's such a supportive
husband.
True.
Of all the teams, they're the two that know each other the best.
Right.
But they did that. They did that. We're in a great relationship thing where as soon as she would say something, he would know right away.
That's what I'm saying is like if you know someone really well. Like, you know certain things maybe that they associate with them. Like, if you looked at Anne Hathaway and you were like, oh, she always has a scrunch nose or something, then you could say scrunch nose, and because I know you so well, I'd be like, Anne Hathaway.
Right, right, right.
They have that relationship.
I have that relationship with no one on the planet. Like, there's no one who could tell me scrunch nose, and I'd be like, Anne Hathaway.
I don't actually even think Anne Hathaway is a scrunch nose. I just couldn't think of anything else in the medium. The last show I was producing, they had a... because Serenity's coming out next week, and Anne Hathaway was talked about.
So you told Valencia to her face, Nino, that you think she's a bitch on the show, but she's so sweet in person. What'd you say?
That's exactly what I said.
That's what you said.
That's exactly
what I said. I said the same thing to my grandma. Great. That's on her birthday. It was as she graduated law school. It was actually the
happy birthday, grandma.
I like the cake. Are we going to talk about the congratulations,
we'll get
there.
Gary? Yeah, we'll get there.
That was good.
The last team we had was the two spouses of Heather and... I always forget Valencia's girlfriend's name.
What's her real name?
Emma Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I forget her character's name all the time.
Me too.
And I shouldn't because I... But she's kind of a forgettable character for me. Like, she's there, but she's not really
a part
of the show.
She's got a little harder vibe. I wish they actually had her more on the show.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I forget about her because she's always just there for Valencia.
Exactly. Yeah. She's never really on the show, and we see a lot of the other relationships... Mm-hmm. play out and come to fruition.
It's like Hector in the first season didn't really know except for that he slept a lot. And then now we've gotten to know a lot more about Hector because of Heather.
Exactly.
But we haven't still gotten to know a lot about her.
At all.
Because she hasn't had a time
to shine.
The fact
that she's also back in town. Like last we knew Valencia was in town, but she was in New York. So obviously she's come back to town as well.
Because they're still on a holiday season.
You know what's interesting? She's actually based out of New York. So that's actually funny when she comes here and she does shows. That's when she's on the show.
Oh,
a lot of stuff just makes so much sense to me right now.
Because you know her.
That's a realistic, because I know she's on my show every time she's here, and every time she's here, she's actually on the show. So now a lot of things are making a lot of sense.
Perfect timing, good scheduling.
That's interesting. Hey.
Not so good scheduling, Paula, making this whole game night, but it's actually a graduation party, as we learned.
Right.
And she's giving out invites last minute, too. Even as it's a game night, it's not very premeditated.
She has a complex.
Yeah, so we learned that she doesn't like to be celebrated.
Yeah.
And it's because of her father saying that she had buds.
I thought it was deeper.
That's what I was waiting for. I was hoping that it was... when they said that was the reason, I was like, there's got to be a more traumatic reason.
When my father told everyone and announced I had buds, it ruined me, too.
I was expecting more, or I was expecting her to want, like, it felt like when you were listening to her talk saying, I really don't want to do this, I just want to...
That she does, exactly,
that she wants the party,
but I think
she wants somebody
does.
Else to put it together.
I do think she did. Like, I think that deep down she did, but she's never going to admit it, because Paula's kind of stubborn in that way.
Like, that's why she was forcing everyone to play the law charade celebrity game.
She secretly wanted this to be her party, she secretly wanted the praise, but she still is... Paula
and she won't give it up.
Yeah, some people are just so stubborn to that fact that they're gonna stick to what they say no matter if they want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it's telling of Paula in other ways as well.
Yeah, I still wanted a big celebration for her. I'll throw one for her, too. Donna, if you want to come to the studio.
She should get whatever she wants, and that's what she wanted.
That's what she wanted.
And I like the way it played out.
Yeah.
It was very
I'm glad that Scott's the one that was the one that kind of stepped in and was all like, we're going to do this because you deserve this. I'm also like, at some point, people are going to know you graduated. At some point, you're going to be celebrated, whether it's a party or just people in the office clapping for you.
She still has to take the bar. That's the real
That's the real graduation.
But she graduated. But people are going to know she graduated law school, though, at some point. Because if you want to be more than what you are right now, if you want to become the lawyer, you're going to have to let people
know.
That
is so funny, because a lot of my cousins and friends who were lawyers did not celebrate until after the bar. Because obviously, if you don't pass the bar,
all of
did you really graduate?
Yeah, she just graduated.
Yeah.
You just aren't a lawyer.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But her whole thing on this and Scott's whole thing, I like, one, I've always loved having Scott back. And I love seeing, as Tayron kind of said, him being more of the strong person right now. Because I feel that she always has to be the strong person. I'm glad to see him kind of step into that role. It was sweet.
Yeah. I think he's been scared to be the strong person ever since the whole
Tanya,
you know, cheating epidemic or whatnot from a couple seasons ago. So I think he's been scared to try to step on her toes, especially since she's been in school. But he mustered up the energy to actually say something, and I like the way he delivered.
And then we kind of see that play out, too, more so with Nathaniel. Because he's also kind of not in the same way Paula is, but he's dealing with, do I talk to Rebecca? Do I not? And then he uses the party as an excuse to reach out to her because she's not there. A little too slow. And then she ends up showing up, and her and Daryl bring the cake, the Gary cake, which also then is able for them to celebrate Paula without actually saying her name and celebrate. So we get the best of both worlds.
Everything. And they sang, and the way they sang the song, the congratulations song to the birthday theme, but the way they sang it, it seemed very fun and realistic. And they, Paul, Gary, like just little things that made it seem like it was unrehearsed, even though we, of course, know it was.
Yeah.
I just really liked that touch. It was nice.
But it was still nice of Nathaniel to reach out to Rebecca and be the one to be like, hey, by the way,
it was self-serving.
It was, but it still was nice. He didn't have to. He could have still been like, no, I'm still upset over how the patio thing happened or what was going on there, and I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, but too little too late, buddy. Too little too late, Nathaniel.
But before we get into why it was a little late,
let's tell you something about why you should be early and jump on this AfterBuzz train. Guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, which I'm hoping most of you are, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating and comment. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. This panel is not just about us. It's about you. You are part of the panel, too. Being a part of AfterBuzz has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows. And thanks for making us the ESPN of TV Talk.
Hey. Yes, thank you guys so much. And I will have a deal for you. You give us a comment on iTunes or on YouTube, and we'll shout you out on air. We'll read your comment, and we'll discuss if it is a question or a statement about the show. Okay?
Sounds good.
That's if you comment on iTunes and leave us, I will show up at your house in my bathrobe and thank you.
But I'm pretty sure we'll...
Allegedly.
You have to give us that 5 stars, though, if we're going to shout
five
you out.
5 stars. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're not going to shout you out for anything less than 5.
4 stars, no shout out.
But it'll still show up to you.
I will still show up to your house.
But getting back to the little too late, which none of you guys are because you're on board with us right now, was Nathaniel because Greg beat him to the punch.
Right.
So Rebecca is babysitting her biological daughter, Rebecca.
Hebby for short.
Hebby.
Mm-hmm. Me and Rebecca.
And Greg asks if he can come over because he was at his Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and his sponsor was kind of like, you need to do this.
I almost did not recognize his dad without the...
Really?
The air tank machine and him looking all sober now. Yeah, he totally looked different to me. I was like, who's
exactly
that guy?
The same.
Did he? No, that oxygen
you just
tank.
Didn't have an oxygen
good
tank
scene.
On
his.
No. Oxygen such tank and being sober looks really good on him.
No, but this was a good scene, and it brings up is when someone has apologized and you forgave them, how do you guys feel about if they continually still bring it up?
Well, personally, since I never forgive anyone, I can understand the impulsive need to do so, but it does become annoying, especially when he says, you did all this in private, kind of where I wanted to keep it, mm-hmm. and now you keep spreading it. And then people are using terms like daddy-girlfriend sex, and I don't. I can understand the need to keep it at home. Just keep it to us. Hey.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I was over it and if I kept on hearing it, obviously, and I was over it, I wouldn't have reacted the way Greg reacted, because obviously I don't think he was over it 100%. But it does get annoying if you keep on hearing it over and over again. If I talked to you and it felt heartfelt and we were done with it, leave it. Let's move on.
If you say I'm sorry and I've told you, we've had the discussion, whatever, we played it out, I forgave you. I think if you keep bringing it up at that point, like, it's not for me anymore.
It's for you.
It's for you. Yeah. And now I'm getting annoyed. Now I feel like you don't trust that I actually forgave you. And if we're going to let it go, we need to let it go.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where Greg was at. And maybe he hadn't let it go, but his dad, because he said that, he has to take it as he let it go at that point.
Yeah. Thank God his mentor talked to him, because he slid in that text message real quick.
Good for him. He answered like that.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, not even a second, not even a pause, not a thought. Can I come over now?
Right.
Because he knew what he wanted. He finally had made that decision. The meth guy came over, talked to him, and inserted that wisdom, that meth wisdom.
That meth wisdom.
But unfortunately, when he goes over, Rebecca is now in a downward spiral, because Hebby doesn't seem to like her.
Hebby,
who never cries,
sleeps
through the night, is awake, is crying. And we see it with, like, the hand part and the shushing.
Yeah.
When Greg does it, instantly quiet. When Rebecca does it, instant cry.
Babies can sense things. They're sponges, right? So they can sense the awkwardness, the uncomfortableness, the resentment, all the issues that Rebecca had. Baby Rebecca can feel. She can understand. They utilize senses that we long forget, because we just talk now and we've learned to lie.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a truth to babies. Babies and like pets, dogs, like, I know people that are like, if my dog doesn't like you, I won't trust you.
Yeah.
Because dogs have a
sense.
Almost an extra.
It also depends on the dog, though, because there are certain dogs that just bark at every single person.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, babies and dogs like me. Now, personally, I'm not a baby or dog person. Like, your baby and dog has to earn me. I don't just like you because you're a baby or a puppy, kid. Let's do something. But mow the lawn.
The one thing that happened during this whole of why Hebby doesn't like her, knowing that, is that we finally got a reason as to why she always seems to forget her, or forget that Daryl has a kid, or that she is biologically related to her.
It's her egg.
Well, and it's because she was in that point in her life where she was not in a great spot.
No, she was just thinking of things and making harsh and rash decisions, and she thought that this could have been a mistake because she passed over her DNA to this
newborn child. You associate certain things with other things. And so if I was in a really low point and I was in a relationship with someone, then anytime I think of that person, I'm going to think of that low point of time that I was in.
Right. And the possibility that all her genetics that she does not like and the traits she does not like is going to be passed on to this poor little baby.
Which is true. It's fair. Mm-hmm. It's a
Meet
fair concern.
Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. Spinoff.
But I'm glad that there was a reason. It wasn't just this, like, thrown out thing that she always forgets it and we're never going to talk about it.
Right.
I'm glad that we actually brought it up and we got a reason for it.
Maybe the baby crying is a foreshadowing of Greg and her relationship after all this has happened.
I like the projection thing she did in the beginning. That was actually very cool. She's like, well, maybe it's because you made a harsh, rash, impulsive decision when you were, and you gave your DNA without thinking about it, and now you're resenting the fact that you have a job that you didn't really want to have. But I like that kind of stuff. It was it was a good tidbit and insight into Rebecca's, and
part of her disorder that, you know, she
says.
Her bipolar disorder,
But she was
BPD.
BPD.
Yeah, like
borderline personality.
Borderline personality. I'm sorry, I'm not a psychologist, okay, people?
But she, when she went about it, it was way more calm than she would have ever been.
Yeah.
At this stage or where she's
at. And I like that, because that also shows growth, but I liked that she also took a step back, that her and, because Greg kind of threw out, you know, I miss you, I love you, I want to be back together almost. Yeah. And she took a step back, like, am I only doing this because you brought me something happy in a time where I was spiraling?
Mm-hmm.
Love that. She's self-aware, reflective. This is a new Rebecca. It's a new day. Sucks for our crazy meter. but it's so refreshing to watch her and her to talk about these things.
Yep.
Once again, the show is doing that bit on social commentary and talking about things that we are afraid to talk about at home. The fact that even you knew the difference between bipolar and
borderline
personality, even though they have the same acronyms, all I'm saying is the fact that we talk about these things, that's part of the discussion.
Yeah.
Being aware, being realizing why you're doing what you're doing, that's a big thing. Most of us don't self-reflect.
This is why I'm such a fan of the show in general throughout the
except this
four
episode,
seasons.
You know, remember how
no, remember,
this episode?
I
this
love
brilliant episode.
Listen,
so fulfilling episode.
Parts of the episode. I'm like, I'm okay. But like I said, this whole part with Greg, the baby, her, it's my favorite part. Just because we get to see Rebecca do her thing and really, really talk about what's going on with her and talk about it in a calm manner and make it seem normal in a sense, because other people are going through it, but they just don't like to talk about it. But here's her talking about it and going through other situations at the same time. And we know this from like seeing her in past seasons where she would turn this and it would be a whole crazy ass episode.
Yeah. He would have been the white knight that came and rescued her.
Exactly.
From this tower of screaming children.
Right.
And it would have been this big metaphor for her.
Right, which is great, which is fun for us to watch, but now that it's ending and now everything's coming together, it's just so nice to see it all contained into something that's real.
I also enjoyed the fact that she let him know that, too. She's saying, this is what happens with me. You've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it now, and I know that this is what's going to happen. So if you want to continue this, like, is this something that you're going to be okay with? The fact that I spiral, the fact that this is going to happen, and I'm going to blow things out of proportion.
New Rebecca communicates.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like people in relationships with people who have PTSD from, say, the war or whatnot. It's something that you're going to have to deal with for the long term. If you're, can you handle me at my, you know, highest points and my lowest points? Are you going to be okay with this? This is just how it's going to be.
And I don't. And if he had said at that point, you know what, I don't know if I can.
Mm.
I'm still recovering alcoholic. I'm still going through all these steps. I'm still dealing with the fact that you and my dad had the thing. Then it would have been okay with it because she brought it up then and didn't wait. And he could have made that decision. So, you know, now moving forward, I hope he also doesn't then continue to let the past kind of speak to it.
Right.
I'm so glad we're all on board with that, because I do the same thing where I just tell you what my problems are and then it's up to you. Yo, you chose this. You know, I explain. Now it's a great way to justify my behavior. Thank you guys. I'm so glad.
But through this, she's able to now kind of like formulate a relationship with Hebby. She kind of realizes it, and now Hebby's also on board with her. We get the little reprise, which we'll talk about, of nice to meet you, because she really hasn't met her. She hasn't taken the time to meet her.
At all.
And then flash forward, we go to Paula's party where her and Daryl have kind of gone. And Greg is at home watching Hebby, and she's talking to Paula about Greg and how maybe this could work now. Nathaniel overhears.
He hears everything.
So what do you...
He eavesdrops. First of all, can I mention I like new Greg better than old Greg? Can we talk about that?
I mean, I think you're supposed to.
New Greg's hair is on point. Like, are we not going to act like new Greg's hair just isn't immaculate at all times?
Yeah, Scott has some great hair.
Oh my gosh, this guy has great hair.
And not an awkward smile either.
Do you feel bad for... The big question, though, is do we feel bad for Nathaniel at this point?
Oh, I felt bad for him. It seemed so real. Like, you know, it wasn't over the top. It was him listening. It was him feeling, and the emotions were there. I'm like, oh, wow. I feel bad for you.
No.
You don't feel bad for him at all?
No, I don't feel bad for a scheming, conniving Nathaniel. Do we not forget what didn't he murder someone? What are we talking about? Nathaniel here?
Yeah, but she's Nathaniel? Scheming and conniving too, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, I like that Nathaniel's growing and...
Is he?
I mean, he is.
He's trying. See,
he's trying to grow.
He's trying.
But I think he is growing. There is... Because, you know, even him taking the time to find common ground with Josh is a growing aspect.
Sure, but if you do something because, if you do something because you know what the reward is and that's why you're actually doing it, then it's not a sincere action. I don't believe Nathaniel is growing on a sincere way.
I don't think he thinks he needs to be friends with Josh.
No, it's not about Josh.
To get to Rebecca.
I think he thinks he needs to be nicer to get more things that he wants. I think he needs to be, because someone explained to him and he's like, oh, if I do these things, then I will get X, Y, Z.
But
it's not just about Josh. Josh is a small indication of a much larger picture of who Nathaniel is pretending to be. He's not being authentic to himself.
But that's true. But I think that the result is the result. So no matter why you do certain things, some people will, if they don't get the result they want, which is Rebecca in his case, they'll stop doing those things. And I don't think that with him we're getting that. I think with him, he's knowing Rebecca's still might be an option. He's not getting her right away, and he's not falling back. I guess the true test will be next episode, now that he knows that she's kind of with Greg.
Sure.
What is he going to do?
Is it going to be a fallback, but or is it going to still be a progression?
Rebecca's being the end game, and I don't think she is. She's just part of a much larger end game for Nathaniel. And I'll never subscribe to the notion that the ends justify the means, because that's what results is results really means, is that it's just the ends justify the means. And the means here is that Nathaniel hasn't had an actual awakening. He's had a rude awakening. So an actual awakening would be one where he self-realizes who he is, understands where it comes from and why it's this way and why he should correct it, not just to correct it, to sweep it all under the rug.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you, but I think that we could still get that. Like, what I'm saying is that he's not just jumping backwards right away because he's not getting something he wants out of it.
I think this is a progression for him. I totally see where you're coming from. I see where you're coming from. I think it's this is his way of growing.
Interesting,
and,
Mina.
And this is his way of growing, and this is his way of seeing how things are going to come along for him in life. Because when we first were introduced to him, he was such a strong kind of like, you couldn't penetrate to who Nathaniel was. You couldn't even get to any feelings.
Or maybe that's who he was.
And he's breaking down. I think he's slowly breaking down, and he's making these decisions where he's trying to change, and he wants to change for a reason or for to get something or whatnot. But I think eventually he'll realize, you know, the good in all he's doing. And it's not just because he wants to outcome out of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely, I think, see further along how it goes. But even, I think, him realizing not only that he has these connections with Josh, I mean, he also found connections that he has now with, as he calls it, middle class.
This is what middle class people do on a Friday night?
I like games.
I mean, I think it's really good. And I like that you're laughing and stuff about this for an episode that you hated.
Listen.
I really enjoy the feedback
you guys are still trying to turn me around.
Because they're excellent, you know?
Yeah. Still trying
we'll
to
have to wait.
Around.
We'll get into predictions, what we think Nathaniel's going to do moving forward. But before that, let us get into our segment where we talk about the songs of the episode. So we got two songs. Tehran, you said we had three, so I'll let you see if there's one that we're missing.
Well, I like the, because I wanted to speak of the reprisal was different. It's the nice to meet you. She throws in a lot of very personal things about the baby, so I thought, I just felt that it was an additional song.
It's still considered a reprise.
Reprise, but I it was definitely deeper.
Yeah, and exactly, like that, and that's why I felt like it should get its own song credit.
Well, they didn't give it to it, because even on their website it's called The Reprise, so.
Well, they're wrong. So,
but before we get to the reprise, Rachel, let's talk about, we already talked about it somewhat, but the sports analogy song, which
great
is
song.
The Nathaniel Josh. We're learning we have things in common, sports analogy. Very throwback to Rat Pack feel.
Yeah,
song.
I definitely appreciate that. And I love the whole, I loved just the whole point of it all, and the finding the commonality or whatnot, and coming back to bringing the comedy to it, and coming back to double fisting old fashions and smoking multiple cigarettes. And yeah, very Rat Pack type of feel. Good for me.
But that's what was even funny is the underlying subtlety of the homoerotic nature of a lot of sports. Simple things like I pitch and you catch, and these lines that were thrown in every third or fourth line in which it could be taken a different way was very impressive, because in a lot of of course applicable subconscious thought, the concept is, why are men who can possibly be, especially you're looking at these the stereotypical
macho
yeah. man, also doing things that are very homoerotic in nature. Like if you like, oh, we're all wearing matching outfits now. We're a team.
Yeah.
Things of that nature. And I liked how it played. It was that subtlety. That, yes, sports analogy. It's a defense. It's a wall. And it's also a cover. And I enjoyed it all the way.
I thought that it was a fun song.
Smart.
Same things that Tehran and you have said. But I will say, like, I think my favorite line was when they talked about the crying and how we're not really crying over what happened in the game. We're crying over these emotional boundaries we've had with our fathers for all these years.
Brilliant.
It was, yeah, it was a really smart song. So, and I liked the black and white. I always like when we throw back into
the
black and white.
The entree was, it was very
smart.
Which
I think we haven't done since Settle for Me, the black and white.
Yeah, it hasn't gone back to that era.
Yeah.
Or that that vibe since Greg.
Which is also, I think is also a good thing to say, like, because this one's about people, men masking their feelings, which is a very much thing of that generation. And that one was a song of Settle For Me, things women did, especially in that generation, but still do. All of these things are things that we're still crossing over today. But
I was going to say, something I didn't realize, that smoking, the cigarettes, actually bothered me way more. It was like, all this truth.com stuff is working, because I just, the cigarettes, like, oh, it's so pointless. They shouldn't. I understand why they had it, but just the cigarettes, just
smoking. Does Truth still have those crazy ads? Those were like the best ads.
They do.
Yeah.
They're turning down more to vaping ads.
But. Yeah.
Got it.
Burp. Like, that's the...
And then our second song, which is titled The Reprise of Nice to Meet You, and it's Rebecca kind of saying, hey.
Sweet.
Hey, biological thing. Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you. Because I feel like she's still not on board completely 100%. She's not like a still motherly figure. I don't know if she'll ever
She's going to learn to be, I think.
She's going to be like a cool older sister more than ever, a motherly figure, I think.
Wasn't impressed by the song. Bad. It's kind of...
The lyrics?
Especially after a sports analogy. Sports analogy was so good.
I thought it was a good song. It did what it was supposed to do. It gave us like...
It was quick.
It was sentimental. It was cute.
Yeah. It was quick and sentimental.
The song between her and Greg.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you.
Yeah.
But I liked that one too.
But sports analogy, top three songs on
the show. I thought you wanted the baby one to be by itself because you liked it.
Yeah. No, it should be by itself. And then I was going to say how I did not like either one of those songs.
Okay. Well, those were the two songs we got.
It was cute. But...
Did you like the second one?
I wanted more from the baby one. The reprise was great and all or whatnot, but I wanted more of a moment. But I think maybe that's just her knock on the door for her new motherly
sentimentality.
We'll see. Now that she's accepted this child, we'll see.
Yeah.
Has she though? Has she?
I don't know.
Or is this just a momentarily spiral?
Allegedly.
Before then, though, let's get into our Rebecca Bunch crazy meter.
Oh, crazy.
Don't mind if I do.
So this is the segment of the show where we rate Rebecca on a scale of 1 to 10 about how crazy she was. Tayron, you want to kick us off?
I'm going to go with Rebecca. Self-awareness. It's amazing. We've seen a lot of growth in Rebecca. I'm giving her a 6. I'm giving her a 6 in this episode. It's too self-reflective.
Too self-reflective?
She was too aware.
Too aware.
It was almost on a psycho level. It was almost psycho level. It was almost like, oh, you
too self-diagnosed?
Too much. Yeah, you're too aware. Too aware. Too much.
Okay.
You know?
Nina?
Too much. I'm going to give her a 2.
Okay.
I mean, I think I gave her a 2 last week, too, didn't I? 2.5
no,
because you wanted me to bump it up?
3.5.
3.5? Oh, he remembers.
I don't remember.
I gave her a 2. I mean, like, is she really that crazy? I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm going to give her a 1.
I thought you were going to go with the negatives for a
second. I'm going to give her 1 just because I had a little bit of anxiety when they were laying on the floor naked or mostly naked afterwards. And I just kept thinking about Daryl walking in. I was like, don't take your time. Get dressed and then talk.
That was only a 1?
That was only a 1.
That anxiety only gave her 1? She had sex on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a 16-year-old babysitter here. This is a grown woman.
And I feel like if Daryl were to walk in, it would still not have been a crazy moment.
I still only give her 1. That's my score for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So not too much news and gossip this week, but I did find a really cool article. If anyone wants to check it out, it's at TV Insider with Skylar Astin, where he talks about the future of Greg and Rebecca. He doesn't give too much, but he does say that, you know, this is just the peak of the arc. So
okay.
We're definitely going to see some more from them, but also some more from maybe potential other relationships. And he did say, sorry, I have to find where it was in this article, but he did say that, he said, I'm sure that this is her and Greg are part of a big arc. We don't really know where it's headed yet, but there's very much, I mean, I think this was past because they were filming the final episode just a week ago. They're very much a part of her life and Rebecca's mind and in her heart. So we do know that they're all there. I'm sure there will be some vying for her heart. And then he did give a little thing that Greg will have a Bruce Springsteen-esque song coming up.
Okay.
So that is what we have.
Is it Sports Analogy? Because that was a good song.
Reprise?
That's not Bruce Springsteen.
It'll be a reprise.
Okay.
It's more Frank Sinatra than Bruce Springsteen.
Let's get into
some predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, let me tell you, Nathaniel's not done with this. And here's the funny thing. Nathaniel's got a friendship. I think he utilizes Josh. And I also think he gets Greg back on the wagon, bro.
Like he's going to pull Greg.
Like he's going to give him a drink. Like, oh, just sell me. You're fine. And Greg, he's going to take Greg out that way. I do not count Nathaniel out.
Okay.
I have to agree. I think this love triangle is not over yet. And I don't think Nathaniel's going to make a quick exit because Nathaniel's Nathaniel. I think Josh is totally out of the picture. I think this is done, and that's a friendship situation now. I think it's been played on too long. Whether or not she's going to go back to Josh, and I think the last two candidates are going to be Greg and Nathaniel. I think we're going to dive a little bit deeper into Paula, if she's going to pass the bar or not, and that's going to be a part of her storyline as well, too. Since school was such a big part of her storyline, I think they're going to move on to that part of her life. And when it comes towards the final episode, maybe that'll be the big celebration for her.
Okay. Plot twist would be if Rebecca ended up with Greg's dad. Can we talk about that?
Wouldn't want that.
I'm very much on the same page as you guys. I do think Josh is out of the picture, at least for himself. Whether or not she still tries to make that happen, mm-hmm. I think for him, we haven't seen anything to make it seem like he's still into her in any kind of way. And I do think it is just a triangle now. It's just Greg and Nathaniel. I don't think Nathaniel's done. But I think it's going to take a few episodes for us to really get her on board with him again, besides just the physicalness that she has for him. And I think that we're not going to get much more into this Rebecca storyline. I think that, you know, she'll be cool with her. Like, if we see her come around the office or something and mm-hmm. him coming in, she'll say, hey, she'll maybe, like, be more friendly towards her. But I don't think we're going to get another episode that really dives into their relationship at all. I think this is it. Yeah, I think we are going to get more into Paula in the bar. And I hope we get more into this law firm because it's still a very chaotic law firm. And I think we need to get it to a more normal position mm-hmm. as well before the end. But yeah, so we'll just have to wait until next week to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. Until then, though, guys, where can they find you?
Find me at I Am Tehran all across the board. IAMTEHRAN. And on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. And make sure to comment below how much you love and or love me.
Everyone, it's your boy Nino. You can catch me at Nino Lanier on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you guys are into fashion, lifestyle, and hip-hop, you can check out my website, thefifthelementmag.com. I'm also here every Thursdays, 4X on the Beach After Show for MTV.
And you guys can find me at Brie, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram. Come chat along with me about this, or I also am doing the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel show. It's sporadic, so I can't give you a time or date, but if you'd like to talk about either of those shows with me, I am there. As well, we would love your guys' help on getting some of the cast in. We're working on it now for the final mm-hmm. episodes, but you guys can help us too by tweeting at them or DMing them on Instagram. However you want to reach out to them, tell them you want to see them on this show. Until next week, though.
Bye. Catch me on the Sabrina panel.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.